Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, there's nothing more fun than having the opportunity to talk about talk radio on talk radio with a fellow talk show host. So welcome to the show, Kip Marlowe. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. What a great introduction. You've done this a few times.
Well, I got to tell you, we got to have fun with the talk radio thing. We know. Let me introduce Kip. And by the way, it kind of fits with that Energize Your Enterprise commercial we played right beforehand, because Kip is squarely in the entrepreneurial space. He is indeed the author of the new book, The Entrepreneur's Success and Sacrifice, which gathers the success stories of 22 small business owners who've really transformed their businesses into highly lucrative enterprises through vision, persistence, and of course, plenty of sweat equity. All the stories in Kip's book come from the interviews he's done on his weekly radio show, The Entrepreneur's Club, which airs live Monday from 4 to 5 Eastern Time on WELW AM 1330 in Willoughby, Ohio. Kip actually fell into radio, not unlike I did, hosting the show beginning over 3 years ago. His perspectives as an entrepreneur goes, frankly, though, beyond that of a casual observer, having founded his own company, the Marlowe Surgical Technologies, which developed and marketed minimally invasive surgical and disposable products for reproductive medicine. After 22 years, though, Kip sold the business to supposedly retire and instead dove right into this encore career he now enjoys that includes counseling and mentoring aspiring entrepreneurs, managing a local entrepreneur club, and then, as we said, hosting his radio show to really share his passion for entrepreneurship, networking, and lifelong learning. So, Kip, indeed, the opportunity to go into radio, was this a fleeting thought that came to you or somebody approached you? How did you start?
And that's a very interesting question. A friend of mine owned the radio station.
Aha.
And it was an offhanded remark. He says, you ought to really do this business block. We really need an entrepreneurship show. You really ought to do one. And I said, okay, I never did that before, so let's give it a go. And we've been doing it for almost 4 years.
Exactly.
So it's fun. It is so much fun. And it's my mission, Zara, to encourage, inspire, and teach entrepreneurship everywhere, and this helps me in my mission.
Indeed, and whether you realized it or not, you're starting to generate so much content that it kind of is pulling you forward whether you wanted it or not. And I suspect you probably also said, oh my gosh, now that I've got this content, I've got to do something with it, so let's build the website. And then, lo and behold, the idea then to do your book.
You know, that's so interesting. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And there's still, Zara, is so much content in all my radio shows. I think I've had over 200 interviews with successful entrepreneurs. And they pretty much shared their sacrifices and their mistakes and their failures and their victories and success stories. So I've got a lot more to go. So everybody's saying, hey, write book two. So I may do that.
You may do that. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one. But, you know, Kip, your book, again, for our listeners, it's called The Entrepreneur's Success and Sacrifice. So it doesn't just do the upside of it, but does a really nice job of laying out the realities of this. Because, you know, entrepreneurship isn't for everyone. It still takes a tremendous different, I would say, a substantial pot of wiring. The fun of it all, though, is so many of the people, you know, so many of the people you featured in your book, though, it wasn't like they felt they were born entrepreneurs. Some of them were driven to it by rejection, loss, being laid off, that gnawing idea that wouldn't leave them alone. So you might want to talk about, indeed, some of those realities that I know one woman here, Kathy Horton, she's a lawyer, and her point was find the point of pain, you know, and then go for it, right?
Yeah, and she did. She's a lawyer, but she basically wanted to start her own company. And, of course, with a legal background, she could do that. She's also an Episcopal priest. And so she's got just a varied background. And she said, let's invent green products that work well to hopefully replace some of the older one's older products that leave somewhat of a carbon footprint, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And she did it. And she developed two companies. She's on her second company. She sold her first one to Hoover. And she's on her second company now, inventing more products. So this lady's a go-getter. And what I didn't put in the book, she suggested I do it, but what I didn't put in the book was she was also on the staff of the cabinet of Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of England, or Great Britain, mm-hmm. and learned a lot about business and technology at that point as well. So a great lady. A very great lady. We've got another person in there in one of the chapters by the name of Tierra Destiny Reed.
Wouldn't you know, I had this one right in front of me, and her tagline was, being laid off was the door that opened wide.
Yes, it really was. Now, Tierra was on my show twice, I think, and she talked about her travail. She is a military wife with two children. Her husband has been to, I think, Afghanistan twice or three times, and certainly Iraq at least once. And she worked at Macy's. And so she's watching CNN one night, and CNN announced that the Macy's department that she worked in, I think it was the women's fashion department, was going to close. So before Macy's even called her, she found out on cable TV that she had no job. And so she had to figure out what to do. And for several days, Zara, she was just, you know, like most of us would
sure,
be,
beside herself.
Very upset, you know, almost to the point of, you know, being depressed. And then she said, well, wait a minute. I always wanted to start a company. And she said that ended up to be the door that opened wide. And she started a company. She's since sold them. She's been on Oprah. She's been in Oprah Magazine. She's been on Fox Business. She's been, now she just travels over all over the country giving speeches about women entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship. So a great story, a very great story.
Well, interesting, too, that her choice, not unlike your own, was, not that I don't expect tomorrow you might call me up and say I'm starting a new business, but that you've opted to parlay your own rich experiences to help enable others. And there's no more urgent time of necessity to open up our eyes for for the right individuals. That what an open playing field it is these days, the land of opportunity again.
It really is an open playing field. There are so many, many opportunities out there that need to be grasped. And I think a lot of the people who are, you know, working for corporations, and God bless them, they're great organizations, but they're working for corporations and they have this inner desire to start a company, but they're afraid to. They're afraid because of, you know, getting the right people. They're afraid because of the headwinds of all the regulations that are being passed. They're afraid because they don't have any money. And they're afraid because they might have a wife and two kids, and or a husband and two kids, and what will happen to them if I fail? So they're all legitimate reasons. But my job, and I know yours too, because you interview entrepreneurs and teach entrepreneurship through your radio show as well. Take away that failure, take away that thought of failing, and get them to start.
Well, and I think, we talked about that, in fact, even our first segment. The idea is how you get your momentum going. And it isn't necessarily that you absolutely completely sever where you are now. It might be that you do something tangential with it. Take a good hard look at what you're doing in your 5 to 9 life. Because, oh, by the way, the business might already be there. You just don't know how to claim it yet.
You can
shift lanes and go from there.
There you go. Absolutely true. And a lot of people do that. They'll work for a company 9 to 5 and then have a business at night. And sooner or later, they resign from that company and away they go with their business. And I think that's wonderful. Hopefully that can be done.
One of the funnest questions or questions I most get often about being on the radio and having this wonderful diversity of guests, including getting the chance to meet you, of course, is the question people say, Zara, how do you find all these guests? So what's your secret? How do you find all yours?
Well, in the beginning, I had to recruit guests.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It was not an easy job. But now most of them come through my website, through publicists. My favorite guests are authors who also are or will be or have been entrepreneurs because they get it.
Right.
And that is a huge plus for anybody that hosts an entrepreneurship show. If these people get it, then it's an easy interview. If they don't get it, well, you know, that's a little bit more tough. You know, a lot of people still write books about business and so on that aren't in business.
Yes, and again, I would say that's a big difference, of course. We're speaking with Kip Marlowe, and his book is The Entrepreneur's Success and Sacrifice. And you will not find in this book a model or here's step one through step five, although that's all important information for us to rely upon. But there's a different set of switches that could flip by reading your book and these 22 stories, Chip. And that is we get this confidence of feeling like we've got a community around us and the old, oh, well, I could do that.
Yes,
as opposed to sometimes you're surrounded with people that say, oh, Zara, but remember when you tried this, it was a disaster. or but you know, really, when anybody gives you advice, they're 50% talking to themselves. So they're probably unknowingly echoing their own set of failures and trying to, you know, best of intentions, again, put them out to you. But that isn't what you need to hear right now.
I love it when you said, I could do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, that's a great phrase. I could do that. If I knew somebody was doing something like that, wait a minute, I can do that. And this is a book, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't want to have a book about me. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have a book about, you know, 200 pages of how to write a business plan or how to read a financial statement or whatever. It's a totally different entrepreneurship book. It's about how the real life stories of people who survived and why they started their companies. And most of the time they had to take advantage and recognize their moment of destiny.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that moment of destiny is I got fired. I got laid off. I won $5,000 on a slot machine in Las Vegas that was a down payment for my business. There's a friend of mine in the book by the name of Ray Kralovic. And Ray started a company in Cleveland called Steris. And it was, he originally went to work for a company in Erie, Pennsylvania that made sterilization equipment for surgical instruments. And he had this idea to make it even better. And there are some instruments at the time that couldn't be sterilized by current methods. They were only disinfected. Mm-hmm. And I won't go into that too much because when I talk to other people, they go, wait a minute,
right.
I just was operated on. You know?
Exactly. Yep.
And he pushed the idea so aggressively within the company and did it at a company picnic, as a matter of fact, that he was fired at that company picnic. And that created a $3 billion company with 5,000 employees worldwide called Steris Corporation. And his product worked, and the rest is kind of history. Without Ray being fired, there will still have been instruments today that were not fully sterilized. They're only disinfected. So he changed the world.
That's right. In fact, you know, his tag, the cute line under his picture in your book says, thrown into the pool. You know,
yes,
and the other one that I loved was the one that says, the beatings had to stop.
Yes.
And we've all been there, and by the way, we have to be careful that we don't make it happen within our own organizations where you say, you know, I've got to hold myself accountable, search on my own journey, and take it forward.
Yeah.
Now, Kip, I do want to say, I know you don't talk about yourself in your book, but I got you on the mic. I'm going to make you do a little bit of that with me here. And that is because I want our listeners to appreciate, again, you're not just one who's observed all this or knows how to ask the right questions or enjoys having other people tell their stories. And that is you have your own story. And that is you had to make that decision of leaving corporate America and founding your own surgical device company. So give us a sense of that journey for you.
Well, I worked for corporations. I was even promoted to sales manager to a corporation that at the time was only a $17 million a year company. Now Stryker Corporation is a $16 billion a year company. But I just didn't like the corporate mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It was just me personally not minding and not liking the corporate mindset. And so I decided to start my own company. I was a bit crazy. I had a wife and two kids and you know, three car payments and all that kind of stuff. Almost went bankrupt twice, as a matter of fact. Almost lost everything the second time. But you just do it. Entrepreneurs find out. And you know this, Dr. Zara, entrepreneurs find a way to make things happen.
Well, yes, and I'm doing that.
You get yourself in trouble, and then you stay up for 72 straight hours to figure out how to get out of it, and it happens. But I went through everything, almost everything that I wrote about in the book, only I didn't talk about me. I talked about other people. We're all kind of the same. We all have gotten fired for the most part.
Oh yeah.
And
we actually wear that as a bit of a recognition award. It's kind of one of those price of entries, because you're saying it was a signal to myself that there's another playing field, that I know I could have a greater impact, and not to be disrespectful, and know that there is a bit of a renegade in me that needs to be caged every now and then. This idea, in particularly in our country, that there's diverse ways for us all to be fulfilled and excel, that's what's so very important. For our listeners who may have just joined us, we're speaking with Kip Marlowe, and his new book is The Entrepreneur's Success and Sacrifice. He's also heads Entrepreneurship Club Radio and also has an entrepreneurship club. You can learn more about him on his website at tecaclub.com. Tell us about the Entrepreneurs Club, Chip. What's that all about?
Well, we used to have meetings that had a speaker and so on. Now what we've done is we've turned it into a shark tank. And so about 30 people every second Tuesday, we meet at a brewery, believe it or not, at 5 o'clock, so the guys that are working in corporations can get there. We meet from 5 to 7 or 7:30. If you have a business idea, there are investors in the room. There are people, pretty smart business people in the room. Attorneys sometimes come, and you just stand up. You got 10 minutes. You ring a cowbell, and then you've got 10 minutes to give your product ideas. And everybody, it's not like the Shark Tank with the guys on TV. It's a little bit more laid back. It's a little bit, it's a little nicer, so to speak. But we pretty much give our opinions on their products. And many people come to try to give their product idea and raise capital, which has happened. And we even have a lady in the group who runs a dance studio that hates mustard, but there's this family mustard recipe and she's taking it to market. And she wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for the Shark Tank. So,
particularly, she hates mustard. Don't you love it?
She hates mustard.
You know what? This is clear. You can run, but you can't hide on that one.
That's right.
You know it does. Well, Chip, there will be those, though, that will say, yeah, the stores are great, and the books of how to go do it are important, and we know there are colleges out there that have entrepreneurship programs, but your feeling, can entrepreneurship really be taught, or is it more a process of revealing the layers of other stuff on us so that which we are naturally capable of doing can be allowed to happen?
I think, and it's just me, I don't know whether I'm right or I'm wrong, but I think entrepreneurship is a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It is not your ability to read that, to write that business plan. It's a mindset of getting things done. Any idea that comes to us in our shark tanks or in the small business incubators all around the country, any idea, Zara, is a good idea. The difference is, will the person with the idea be able to execute it?
That's right.
And so execution is a mindset. And there are not many people out there that can really take an idea and take it to the market and get everything done, raise capital, maybe write that business plan if it's supposed to be written. I had a lady on my show. I don't know if they've ever eaten Sherry's Berries, the chocolate covered strawberries.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I had Sherry Fitzpatrick on my radio show one time. I said, you got this multi-million-dollar company. Would you have a 40-page business plan? And she laughed at me. And she said, I'd rather have a root canal than write a business plan. So, if you're going to raise money, you probably should have a business plan. If you're going to go to the bank to borrow money, you probably should have a business plan, although that's rare today. It's a mindset. Sorry, I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, I think the other thing I think we should be wary of is that, execution is a mindset, to take these ideas fully through. But also the smart entrepreneurs know it's not just me. It's who I then surround myself with. And while Sherry might not have written that business plan, I guarantee you she had somebody really razor sharp in that department. And she may have needed to go through five of them before she found the right one. But this idea that's part of entrepreneurship is, no, you can't do it by yourself. And in fact, we know of so many companies that were founded by entrepreneurs that then go through founder's syndrome's problems because the entrepreneur can't recognize that maybe they should step off into a different role or start another serial thing, right? So that so that this new phase of development can go where it needs to go.
It's so true. I know that was my path in the beginning. It was just me for several years, mm-hmm. and then I thought, gee whiz, you know, I got to find somebody to help me sell the product. I got to find a good accounting firm, you know, CPA firm, and it's those people that you surround yourself with. Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, says get the right people on the bus, so to speak. Mm-hmm. If you get the right people on the bus, that's a big factor in success.
Well, and then also it's not just on the bus, but also on the right seat on the bus.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, by the way, for their own development, you may need to move them around in different seats so they continue to serve you as well. Again, we're having a real pleasure of fun to speak with Kip Marlowe, and his website, tecaclub.com. His new book is The Entrepreneurship Success and Sacrifice. So what's been the reaction to the book so far, Kip?
Oh, it's been great. It's a
They're
book.
Lined up to be on the show. I can see it. I want to be in volume two. I'm calling this man up.
But it's gotten a lot of good play. It's got a lot of good reviews. My goal is as an unknown author, to be honest with you, to sell several thousand of these over the next year or so. And so far I'm on my path to do it, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of energy. I published it through an independent publishing firm, mm-hmm. called Create Space in Charleston, South Carolina. They've been great to me. They're an Amazon company, so you know, you publish it through Amazon, it's automatic. You're up there on Amazon.com is where most of the people have gotten the book. So,
well, but my guess is, if I might say this on your behalf, is my suspicion is you're not going to measure your success based on numbers of books that you sell. I know you're going to measure success on somebody who calls you someday and said, you know, I read your book and it prompted me to go do this. So, you know what?
Zara, you are so right. I've already gotten one call in the 2 months or 3 months it's been on the market.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten a call. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm starting my company today.
Right.
Just read your book. And, you know, that just gives me goosebumps. I just get so thrilled when that happens. I hope I get more calls like that.
Well, and the other piece of it, too, is that you will never probably know, although maybe it'll come back to you sometime, well, someone will say, you know, I didn't find your book, but I had someone mail it to me, and it was the one that prompted me over the edge. So it's kind of the ripple effect. Just as much as you're doing your radio show and putting podcasts out there, and as much as we'd like to say we know what our listenership is, we really don't. But you know what? In some regard, we don't care, because we know we're going to still continue on these missions, right?
That's right. You know, I didn't even know how to spell it until about 5 years ago. So.
Well, good. That's because you had spell check or someone who edited your stuff for you.
That's right. It's the E before the U.
That's right. Well, I should mention, too, I had commented earlier in the show to our listeners that it really is about the stories, but Kip does do a very nice job at the end. He reveals his secrets of success. So if I might read them just for sake of time, is number one, to have passion and do what you love doing, which I think you hear from Kip. He's all about that, myself included. Work hard. Again, this is a lot about perspiration, folks, that keep at it. Trust your instincts, but also check the data. I think where a lot of people get hung up, though, Kip, these days, is they're getting so much big data, it absolutely drowns them.
You're probably right. Yeah, you're right there. I put that in there because I had made so many mistakes hiring myself. And, you know, I hired on emotions. And I said, oh, I've known this guy for 20 years. Mm-hmm. He's really a good salesman in XYZ stuff, and he wasn't necessarily a good salesman in surgical instruments. So you really got to trust your instincts. But, you know, Ronald Reagan, what did he say years ago? It's probably before your time, Zara, but versus the Soviets, he said trust but verify.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And in our case, trust your instincts, but you know. But read the data, too. Make sure you got all your information and do your homework before you pull the trigger on somebody.
Yes.
It's the old, you know, hire slow, fire fast syndrome, so to speak.
Yeah, and it isn't just in the people dynamic, of course, but the power of data. In fact, a good friend of mine always would say, in God we trust, but all others need to bring data. So, yeah, that's exactly
like that.
Right. You know, number four was grasp those moments of destiny. But here was the other point. I loved how you characterize this, is remember that what you're looking for is looking for you, but it may not be on the right, on the same time horizon you're thinking. So when it's meant to be, it will happen. That's the other important thing to have that patience to wait it out, right?
Yes. That was one of the guys, Jason Kinsler, who started Pitch Engine, which now is a $30 million company out in Lander, Wyoming. His wife said, "Don't worry, we don't have any money now, but we'll know when it's meant to be, it'll happen."
Exactly. I love that.
And it worked. Jasmine, that was fantastic advice for Jason at the time. Okay. So,
and then finally, and of course this embodies truly what you're doing right now, is be a continuous learner. And so the prospect that you're creating all this content, Kip, and regularly updating, and probably at the same time, don't you feel like you're a perpetual student doing your own show?
Yes, I learn more. That's so funny, Zara, but I learn more after I sold my company about how to run and operate a company and be an entrepreneur than while I was running it. So
yeah, in fact, that's the tagline for my book someday: Circles and Tornadoes of Change. If I'd only known then what I know now. Very good. Kip Marlowe, thank you so much for joining us again. To our listeners, The Entrepreneur's Success and Sacrifice, go visit tecaclub.com and also dial up WELWAM 1330 in Ohio Monday afternoon. Catch up with Kip Duwin. Thanks so much. We'll be in touch.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.